Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to take up today, once again, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. Before I begin, I just want to remind you, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the programs this week or been able to visit our website at renewalministries.net, there's a lot there that we've created for you to help you along the journey. These are challenging and difficult times, and they're going to continue to be for the foreseeable future for all of us. And on our YouTube channel, Ralph Martin, Sister Ann Shields, myself, my wife Debbie Herbeck, and Dr. Mary Healy and others have put out videos to try to encourage you on your spiritual journey. We've got the radio programs, Sister Ann's Food for the Journey, my program here, Fire on the Earth, our television programs, lots of free material there for you to access. The simplest way to do it is to download the Renewal Ministries app, going to the App Store, or Ave Maria Radio too. You could download that app and you can listen to these programs and access this material anytime you want, whenever it's convenient for you. Well, yesterday we focused on the beginning of chapter 2, the beautiful hymn to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, where Paul articulates so beautifully the heart of what Jesus came to do and his emptying himself. He became, in the incarnation, he entered his own creation and became one of us, and he humbled himself and he became a servant. And Paul's saying, look, friends, there's so many ways of looking at life that are foisted upon us every day. There's so many things in this world that are exalted and rewarded, that many of which are not helpful, many of which can lead to really placing ourselves in a position opposite to what God has revealed to us in Jesus, and ultimately leading us into a life that's going to lead to our eternal destruction if we're not careful. And Paul is concerned that the Christian community keep gathering around the revelation and the person of Jesus and what he showed us about life. And so he talks about Jesus having emptied himself. He humbled himself. And so Paul's saying, look, this is the mind of Christ. Jesus is revealing to us in the way he oriented his entire life, not only in his speech, but his whole way of living. And he made clear what the kingdom of heaven values and rewards and crowns. What draws God's heart, what God the Father wants to crown, is when his creatures, those made in his image and likeness, humble themselves. And as Paul mentions, Jesus humbled himself. He made a decision how he was going to orient and live his life. He was going to be at the service of God the Father. He was going to obey every command that came from the mouth of God, as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. He said, this is the most important prayer we've ever received from Jesus. It's really one of the great prayers, central prayers of the church itself, right? And so what's at the heart of that prayer? Really, it's, Father, may your will be done. May your kingdom come and may your will be done. May your name be honored through that. How do we hallow, how do we honor God the Father's name? By receiving his kingdom, which means receiving his king, his son, the rule of the king, the rule of the king in our lives. That means giving our lives to him and imitating him in every way. Yesterday's gospel, we didn't have a chance to touch on it, as Philippians 2 is so loaded, but in it, Jesus talks about, you know, he lays down the terms of discipleship. He lived a particular way of life, and he invites us into that life, because that's the life that will lead to eternal life. But he's the one who sets the terms of the relationship that we're entering into. And in it, he says things that seem shocking to us. He said that to become his disciple has to take precedence over everything, father, mother. So there's that phrase, unless you hate your father and mother, whatever, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't live in the reign of the kingdom and the reign of the king. What's Jesus saying? doesn't mean the word hate in the way we most understand it. He's saying that nothing can take precedence over Christ's claim and God the Father's claim and our first love being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and living in them and doing their will. That's the centerpiece of the life of a disciple. And all authority belongs to Jesus. And now we live to please him. That's the point of our life. We're not living to please ourselves or to please other people in our lives that have an opinion about how we should or shouldn't live. We're not trying to live in the minds of others. We're trying to live in the mind of Christ. And his will takes precedence over everything. And he does it because not because he's a tyrant or something. He does it because he knows who God is, who God the Father is, the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who we are, what we're made for, and how we can find eternal happiness. That's his end game, having us become children of God and living like children of God. And so the heart of this reading yesterday was this beautiful phrase, he humbled himself. In the whole economy of God, humility is highly valued. We see it in Our Lady, we see it in the saints, we see it perfected in Jesus, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient. And obedience is connected, and humility is connected to love. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What stands in the way of loving Jesus? Human pride, human sin that says, no, I don't want to keep the commandments. I want to put myself first. I want to do what I think is comfortable. I want to do what I think is best. And Jesus said, you'll have to humble yourself, become a servant, and start living by the life that's in Jesus that he's pouring into us. And so the Father exalts and gladly exalts Jesus, Paul tells us. And the day's coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord of all. Every knee, every human being is going to acknowledge that, is going to declare it. Everyone will go to their knees. Some are going to do it freely with total joy. Others will go pounding their chest, knowing their destiny, the destiny they've chosen in opposing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and refusing his mercy and the life that he revealed to us and the pathway he set for each and every one of us. Today, Paul continues. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. Thanks be to God. The last verse there, verse 13, for God is at work in you. Do you know that, brothers and sisters? God's at work in you. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you become a temple of the living God, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's what the Spirit is leading you to do, to just surrender, to put down your arms, to open your arms to the will of God and to walk in it. I mean, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So Paul is touching on something here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's he saying? Is he saying that we get into this faith works question in this passage for some people? And is Paul saying that we save ourselves by our works? It's helpful to just keep this simple distinction in mind. That initial salvation, that is, the faith that comes to us when we hear the gospel and we're led to repentance and conversion and baptism and given the new life of the Holy Spirit, where we become children of God, this is God's gift to us. It's not something we earned. It comes to us by faith. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, Scripture says. But final salvation, our ultimate entering into the kingdom of God, depends upon a lifetime of keeping the faith. Faith, which, as Paul says, I think in Galatians says, you know, it's faith expressing itself in love. And what is love? What Jesus has been showing us here. He humbled himself, becoming obedient. Obedience is the love language of heaven. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So the church teaches very clearly, we're not saved by our works, but we cannot be saved apart from our works. The faith that does lead us to salvation is the faith that first, by God's gift, allowed us to be able to believe, and then the faith working itself out under the power and the grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to cooperate with our free acts to say yes to the commandments of God. And so we focus, you know, Jesus and the apostles exhort us constantly to fight the good fight, finish the race, keep the faith. It's something we have to contest for, we have to fight for, as the letter of Jude tells us. It's not something that we can be on automatic pilot for. We have to exercise our will. We have to exercise our mind and use whatever resources the Lord has given to us to be able to give it all and to walk in the righteousness that we're being offered through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. It means following the commandments. You know, Matthew 19:17, Jesus says, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" He says, "There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter life, keep the commandments." Persevering in good works, Romans 2:7, to those who by patiently doing good seek for the glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. For those who daily, patiently seek for glory and honor and immortality, that is walking in obedience to God, each day will be given eternal life. Hebrews 12:14, striving for holiness, pursue peace with everyone, and the holiness without which no one will see God. You know, ultimately, brothers and sisters, we're all called to be saints. The amazing thing about you, if you're baptized into Christ, you're a new creation. That new creation means that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have come to make their home in you. And they've given you a power and a capacity, they've come to heal your heart and give you a heart that from the core of your being, the seat of decision, you become transformed and you learn to love what God loves. And you learn to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. That power is in you. And what the Lord is asking us is to seek, to follow, to knock, to hunger, to thirst, to have a hunger for holiness, a hunger for God, and to do our part each day. You know, Paul tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray unceasingly. But that's part of it as well, right? To be directed, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. It's an exhortation to live with the Lord. And Paul says if we're living, and James as well, if we're living this kind of faith, a faith that is walking with Christ, that's received his truth, that is learning to surrender our hearts in trust to God, we're going to be led by the Spirit right into learning to love the commandments. They're not just an external imposition, but they represent the very core of what God wants to flow from our hearts. And friends, the great thing is, it doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how much of an education you have, whether all your five-year plan is working out or not, it doesn't matter. Every single person has the potential, because of the presence and power of the Spirit within them, who have been baptized into Christ, to come into this wholeness and to walk in deeds of love and to enter eternal life with Christ. Blessed be God. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.